Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Star Health and Allied Insurance Company Limited's Q1 FY2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Patil from AdFactors PR Investor Relations Team. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Pratik Patil.
Thank you, Robin. Good evening, everyone. From the senior management, we have with us Mr. Anand Roy, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Nilesh Kambli, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amitabh Jain, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Anish Srivastava, Chief Investment Officer, Mr. Aditya Biyani, Chief Corporate Strategy and Investor Relations Officer. Before we begin the conference call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made during the course of today's call may be forward-looking in nature, including those related to the future financial and operating performances, benefits and synergies of the company's strategies, future opportunities and growth of the market of the company's services. Further, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's conference call may involve risk and uncertainties. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Roy.
Thank you, and good evening to all of you. Thank you for joining Star Health's earnings call today. My name is Anand Roy. I'm the MD and CEO of the company. I will first give you a brief overview of the industry trends and the developments that we have witnessed in the last few months, as well as walk you through the company's performance in terms of premium and distribution. Later on, I will cover the financial performance and aspects related to claims, including the steps that are underway to manage them. In quarter one of 2024, the health insurance industry, including the personal accident business, has grown by 21%, driven by 23% growth in group health and 18% growth in retail health. Now we will talk about the growth and market share of Star Health. For 3 months, 2024, that's the quarter one, our overall growth is 20%. Our retail growth rate is 19% versus the industry's retail growth rate of 18% during Q1 of FY24. In Q1 of FY24, Star Health registered 32% market share in retail health, which is more than 3x the second largest player in the industry. We aspire to grow higher than the market growth rate and increase our retail market share in the future. As far as our accretion share is concerned, Star Health has registered 33% retail accretion market share in Q1 of FY24. Our agency business continues to contribute around 81% of the overall business. Our agency strength has increased to 642,588 agents, with a net addition of 16,728 agents in the first quarter as compared to the previous year. In Q1 of FY24, our corporate agents, that is banks and other tie-ups, continues to remain very strong, and the premium has grown by more than 35% from this channel. Some of the highlights in first quarter for us were as follows. As far as premium and distribution is concerned, we had taken a price hike in the Family Health Optima plan, where the renewal pricing was effective from 1st May of 2023. We are very happy to inform that the policy renewal in terms of both volume and value are in line with our expectation. We continue to focus on our digital initiatives, and we continue to make substantial strategic investment in the digital areas. The outcomes are our fresh digital business has grown by 26% in first quarter over the previous year first quarter. We have relaunched our Star Power app as the Star Health app. The key features of the Star Health app are differentiated journeys of policies for policyholders and non-policyholders, instant and scheduled call with our free telemedicine services, which we call as Talk to Star. The management of family members of the policyholders are also made very simple. The network hospital search has been made simple for customers to access the nearest network hospital to them. The organic traffic to the website grew by 48% in our first quarter over the same period last year. Our brand campaign, Save the Savings, was well received and it has led to a 3.5% uptake in the buying consideration of the target segment. The dynamic QR code introduced on all our policy renewals and on, also on our digital platforms will ensure that the customers can now renew policies at the click of a button, and it will also lead to cost savings in terms of collection cost. We have tied up with AU Small Finance Bank, Bank of Maharashtra and Godrej Housing Finance during the quarter. This will further expand our reach and also strengthen sales of our higher sub-assured policies. With the new expense of management guidelines of, provided by the IRDAI, this provides an immense growth opportunity for us. In order to reach newer geographies, we have identified almost 1,000 sales manager stations which are located in semi-urban and rural areas. These are small individual service centers, of which 410 have already become operational during the first quarter. The expenses of management regulation gives us a lot of flexibility to gain in the banca and alternate channel business areas, along with our agency channel. The average sum assured of our new policies has increased by 10% on a year-on-year basis. It now stands at 9.5 lakhs on an average. 5 lakhs and above sum insured now constitute 76% of the retail health portfolio versus 69% in the first quarter of last year. The premium of benefit plans has grown by 29% in the first quarter. The share of such products within the overall GWP has increased by 17 bps to 2.5% in the first quarter of FY24. I will now talk about the claims initiatives and the outcomes. 61% of number of paid claims in the first quarter are through cashless versus 56% in the last year, of first quarter of last year. In terms of claims amount, 84% of the paid claims in Q1 of FY24 was cashless versus 80%. Cashless TAT claims settled within 2 hours came in at around 94%. Auto adjudication of claims through our investments in tech has helped in drastically improving turnaround times and thereby improving the customer satisfaction. 28% of our agreed network hospitals, representing 67% of cashless claims, have been onboarded under these initiatives. The number of such claims settled has risen to 60,000 in Q1 of FY24, a growth of 34% versus Q4 of FY23. So on a sequential basis, it has grown by 34%. We continue to improve on the claims-related milestones. Within overall cashless claims, the share of hospitals with pricing arrangements, that is agreed network hospitals, cashless claims is 61% versus 56% in the Q1 of FY23. As you will be aware, fraud control is one of the critical factors to address in a health insurance business, especially in a retail health insurance business like ours. Our anti-fraud digital initiatives have started to produce savings in claims outgo. There's a 0.9% incremental benefit in terms of lower claims ratio in the Q1 FY24. And our SaaS investments in SaaS has assisted in 80% of those cases. Claims initiatives planned to bring in efficiency are reduction in readmission, home health care initiative, which is a very innovative initiative that we have taken, first notice of loss initiative through app for remote and virtual survey, which will help us to advise customers on appropriate hospitals nearest to their homes. Our financial performance, we are focused on sustainable, profitable growth and taking decisions to achieve that goal. Our combined ratio for Q1 FY24 has improved to 97.8% versus 98.24% in Q1 of FY23. Improvement in combined ratio is achieved through claims ratio improvement. Claims ratio for Q1 FY24 has improved by around 1% to 65.4 versus 66.3 in Q1 FY23. Expense ratio has slightly increased in Q1 FY24 to 32.4% versus 32% in Q1 FY23, mainly on account of the fixed cost vis-a-vis Q1 FY24 being a smaller quarter in terms of gross premium. Our investment assets have grown to 13,303 crores in Q1 FY24 versus 11,463 crores in Q1 FY23. With a rise in interest rates, fresh investments were deployed at a higher yield and realization of profits on ETFs. The yield for Q1 FY24 rising to 7.45% versus 7.11% in Q1 of FY23. We continue to invest in equity portfolios through ETFs. The investment income in Q1 FY24 grew by 23% to 250 crores over Q1 of FY23 of 204 crores. Q1 FY24 recorded a profit before tax of 384 crores versus rupees 288 crores reported in the Q1 of FY23. Our profit after tax in the first quarter of FY24 came in at 288 crores versus 213 crores in the first quarter of FY23, representing a growth of 35% in our PAT numbers. Total and non-annualized ROE for the quarter has increased to 5.2% compared to 4.6% in Q1 of 23. Solvency as on 30th June is 2.18 times compared to the regulatory requirement of 1.5 times. This solvency has been achieved despite availing only the 4% mandatory reinsurance. To conclude, we at Star Health continue to invest in the profitable and sustainable growth opportunities available in the health insurance segment, and we are on a desired path of realizing the same. Thank you so much, and now we are happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So I have two, three questions. First, on the new business side, new business numbers has not firmed up yet, so I just wanted to understand whether we are facing any kind of challenges in terms of new business, or whether it is this in terms of where the pricing of our policies are, or is there any other kind of headwinds that are there, if you could explain that. And what are the steps you are taking regarding that? Also, the second question is in terms of the renewal rate. So while you have given the renewal rate number in the presentation, wanted to understand that in terms of number of policies, how should we see it? Or if you could give us, you know, the growth in the number of overall number of policies, that would be also very helpful. Also, thirdly, in terms of the cost side, so I see that there has been a jump in the advertising cost. As you had mentioned that, the increase in the cost ratio is primarily due to the fixed cost base. So should we then expect the advertising cost run rate to be similar for the remaining part of the year? And on the employee cost base also, if you could explain what the run rate could be going ahead, and how the variable cost is accounted for. So whether it is apportioned over the year or it is taken in the fourth quarter. And lastly, on the commission ratio, it has come down. So how should we read this? If you could highlight whether this is the reason of the mix of group versus retail.
Okay, that's a lot of questions. Let me try to answer this one by one. As far as new business is concerned, the company has registered a growth of 15% in our new business, 1.5. We have taken some strategic shifts in our new business and our in business planning. We have kind of tightened our underwriting standards in certain areas. We have also, as you know, we have taken a risk-based price hike in our FHO product. And also we are incentivizing our channels for better outcomes. So that will be the long-term strategic shift that the company has taken. But having said that, the new business continues to grow fairly for us, and we are very confident that, you know, we will continue to grow at a good rate. As far as our renewal rates are concerned, we have seen very good retention rates, as I mentioned already in my opening remarks. The FHO price hike, which we had taken, and we had anticipated a drop of 4 to 5% in our number of policies, which typically used to happen when we took a price hike earlier in FY17. But we are seeing the initial results are very encouraging, and the drop-off rates are much lower than what we had anticipated. So in that context, it seems to be a good beginning. Our advertisement cost, Munesh, if you can add on that.
Yeah. So basically, you know, as Anantha mentioned, you know, we are doing strategic investment in people and technology, and this is part of the digital initiatives that we are taking. You know, this advertisement publicity cost is part of the digital initiative. And we continue to invest in this channel. See, absolute amount of fixed cost, you know, it's on a sequential basis. You know, the investment in people that we have done and the salary increments typically which happens as a new year has begun, that has led to a absolute cost increase compared to last year. One needs to compare Q4 versus Q1 because fixed cost is sequential. And we are well on target to achieve the full year fixed cost budget. So it's more a temporary Q1 phenomenon because the GWP and NWP is lower when we start the year.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And in terms of the commission ratio?
See, commission ratio again, you know, with digital business also picking up now, it will slightly trend lower.
Okay, so this can be the run rate that we assume for the rest of the year?
See, what has happened, with this EOM regulations coming in, you know, we are looking at a new structure. So while overall expense ratio will be similar while we continue to invest, there can be a structural shift between OPEX and commission, which but the overall cost structure will be in line with our targets.
Okay, understood. Just a clarification,
sorry
if you could...
Interrupt. We request you to please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Sure. Yes.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. A couple of questions. First one is on the claims ratio. Given that from May you took price hike in renewal as well, and for new you had already increased prices in Feb. So with some kind of adjustment in prices, why is still the sort of a claims ratio? Again, it's not the way off, but one would have expected claims ratio to improve a bit better, on annual basis, because the price hike is also coming into picture, and then, of course, whatever, I mean, your more or less normalization in claims are very, very normal, you are now coming into picture. So can you explain, I mean, despite the price hike, I mean, claims ratios are still a bit on the sort of inflated side. That's one. Second, on the, you know, retail health, of course, you have repriced, but can you sort of comment on competitive intensity in the market, whether, you know, either it's the pricing or the payouts are concerned? Because now, of course, under a new UM regulation, of course, earlier also there was certain practice, but now you are officially, the commission cap is now moved to the overall UM cap. And also everybody is changing, I mean, from the SAHIs to multi-line, everybody is changing retail health. So how is the pricing environment as well as the competitive environment of the output distributors? We have two questions. Thanks.
See, I'll answer the first question, Avinash. In terms of claims ratio, while we have taken the price increase, which is effective 1st May, the benefits in terms of earnings, you know, we are part of the 1/365 approach. So the earning benefit will come only second half onwards. So while we are, in fact, we are very happy that in spite of, price rise kicking only in 1st of May, we are able to reduce the loss issue by almost 1% compared to last year. The whole inflation has moved by 1 year, but still we are able to reduce the loss issue, which is a good achievement, is what we believe.
Yeah, as far as the competitive intensity is concerned in retail health, we have been seeing extremely intense competition in this business for the last 2 to 3 years. It's not something new. Of course, now with the new EOM structure kicking in, I think Star Health has a benefit because we have the levers now to enter into segments where we were not very active earlier, while at the same time our competitors may have to bring down their cost structures to comply with the regulations. So I think, we are already operating in a very highly competitive environment, and we are able to grow faster than the industry and maintain our market share and, in fact, improve upon it. So we don't see that as any particular challenge right now. In fact, I think it will be beneficial for us.
Yeah, one quick follow-up. I mean, you have a lot of large public sector bank as your banker partner. Do you see sort of a, you know, a potential for higher growth in that, because that would be generally under-penetrated channel, but at the same time, the you know, the channel performance is somewhat lower. And do you sort of offer just a retail product, or sort of a, you know, offer certain kind of a group product for their customer that is basically kind of a, in nature, retail but offered as a group? So do you see any sort of a, you know, growth improving there by some sort of a, you know, any tweaking products and all?
Yeah, Avinash, that's a good question. We are very lucky to have some of the leading public sector banks with us as our partner, and there's a lot of opportunity to engage with them even closely and increase our book size there. The strategy for us is mostly on the branch banking of on these banks, and it is largely retail products, but offered as a, on a group platform. So individual customers buy it, but the product is constructed on a group platform. I think that will continue. What we are seeing is very high levels of engagement with all of these banks. The management of the banks are extremely happy. We are the largest player in all these bank relationships as far as health business is concerned. Most of the banks have renewed their contracts with us for 3 years or even 6 years, Punjab National Bank. So this will be a good avenue of growth for us as we go forward.
Okay. Thanks, Anand and Neelis. Thanks all the way.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have three questions. First is on the loss ratios, and I'm sort of repeating this question over here. Apart from the price hike, the way I was trying to understand was that last quarter we had a loss ratio of 62%. First quarter generally doesn't have any seasonal diseases, etc., right? In second quarter, third quarter, we will have some impact of seasonal diseases. So what one would expect was that the loss ratios should have been higher in second quarter and third quarter, and this quarter should have been a much more normalized, if not as close to fourth quarter, because I understand the reserve accounting, the way it functions. It shouldn't have been significantly higher than fourth quarter. So that is one question, and I also want to understand why the IBNR reserves has also increased much more than what you have generally seen in the previous 1Q. Second question is on the growth rate. So the retail book last year, not the overall book, just the retail book last year was growing at 18%, right, without any price hike. Only the new business got a price hike last year. So now this year when you are growing retail book, the retail book is only growing at 19 or 20% in spite of the price hike that we have taken. So shouldn't the price hike have added a few more percentage points to the growth rate? And I mean, I'm just not able to match the numbers between the growth that is coming in and the renewal and the better improved renewal ratios that you're talking about, or the improved retention ratios that you're talking about. And the third question is simply one of the peer private general insurer reported their result, and for them the commission ratios and the other OPEX ratio has sort of switched places, and it seemed like that, you know, the impact of EOM guidelines have finally come in and the commission ratios are rebasing everywhere. So I was just wondering whether that didn't happen for health insurance segment, because your commission ratios are largely in line with what we've seen historically. And since when do we expect that commission ratio to start reflecting the change?
Shreya, I'll answer this one by one. In terms of loss ratio, you know, we have always mentioned that Q4 is our best quarter, you know, because of the exams, non-existence of any epidemics, the loss ratio is better. When it comes to Q1, typically, since there is no epidemics, but there are elective surgeries which take place. And, you know, while the frequency is lower, the severity is higher. And we have seen that the loss ratio is typically higher compared to Q4. So that's the primary reason of Q1 loss issue, which is higher, but if you see, for us, it's an improvement compared to last year, which is a good sign. In terms of IBNR and outstanding reserves, you know, IBNR, we have a reduction this time because the cashless claims have proportion has increased, you know, as we had mentioned in the script, from 80% to 84%. On an overall basis, you know, claim outstanding is a function of cash settlements with the hospital. So that's an ongoing number, depends upon when the due date for this hospital payments come through. In terms of the commission ratios, you know, we are an agency heavy business. So while other GI players, you know, for motor, it can shift between OPEX and commissions. But for us, it's an agency heavy business, which is always, you know, commissions were always paid. So for us, there'll be not much of an impact going forward as well. There'll be slight movement between OPEX and commission, but nothing major that will kick in.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, so firstly, on the OPEX front, you know, while you mentioned that you are making investments, so, you know, whether this kind of run rate will sustain today, because even if you look at the employee cost on a YOY basis, it's higher by around 29%, right? And that's some significantly high number. A 29% jump in employee cost. Could you break it down for us in the sense that, you know, how many employees you would have added over this period and what kind of hikes that you would have given and what is the variable cost jump that you would have given in this period? So that will help us understand better as to what could we expect going ahead from here on. Second is with regards to the network hospital agreed rates. What would be the trend that you would have seen with regards to these charges or surgery costs that would have happened in the increase that would have happened say in the last couple of quarters particularly, and would you say that, you know, whatever increase that would have happened would have been adequately priced in by you guys? And lastly, with all the movements in the, you know, like growth possibly being on a slightly on the lower side than what we are working with, expenses on the higher side, would you still maintain your guidance of a 20% YOY growth in premiums and a loss ratio of 63 to 65% and a combined of 93 to 95%?
As far as the employee cost is concerned, we have invested a lot in our digital business. And digital, when I say digital, it's not only about the digital marketing or it's also about the digital operations of the company. We have onboarded close to 30 engineers and very senior leaders on the technology side. So I think these are investments that are being made for the long-term structural shift which the company is going through in terms of digitizing its processes to improve the customer experience and also lower costs. But if you look at it sequentially, I don't think the employee cost has gone up so much. It is only the quarter, if you look at it quarter on quarter, the previous year, definitely it looks higher. But having said that, we are very confident on the growth which we have committed in terms of 20% YOY growth for this year. In fact, and on the 63 to 65% and combined ratio of 93 to 95%, we believe that we should definitely deliver on the lower side of both of these bands. So the business is on track and we are very confident of achieving those numbers.
On the network hospitals?
What is the question on the network hospitals?
What has been the agreed rates, change in the agreed rates on the, say, in the past 6 months, and would that have been, because the channel check suggests that, you know, it's been anywhere between 10 to 12% for private insurers, the increase in the agreed rates. So whether that would have been adequately priced in your price hike, or you would say, you know, that would not really be priced in?
I think it is definitely priced in adequately in our price hike. And to be very frank, you know, the rate agreements that Star Health has with its network of hospitals is very different to what probably other companies are able to command or demand. And I think, you know, our agreements are very proprietary in nature and definitely better than what most industry players are able to attain. So, but to answer your question, yes, the price hike has been priced. I mean, the rate hike has been priced in.
What would be quantum of price?
One more thing, I think what you're referring to is only big listed players. You know, the proportion of those players in our portfolio is still lower. So that impact will not flow in the way we're talking about.
Got that. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my first question is,
sorry to interrupt, but the line for you is not very clear. We request you to please use the handset and speak closer to the mic, please.
Yeah, can I?
It's still breaking up, sir.
Can you hear me?
Sir, you were not clear at the moment. May I request you to please rejoin the queue after you establish a better connection, sir? We will take the next question from the line of Sahej Mittal from 3P Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, team. Thanks for taking my question. So first is on the number of policies. So if you could quantify the number of policies in Q1, at the end of Q1 FY24 versus Q4 FY23, yeah, that would be helpful. Then I'll take my second question.
You're talking about the number of policy growth.
The number of retail policies.
Count of policy size. We'll get back to you on one-to-one basis.
Got it. And the second one is, just following up on one of the previous participants' question. So has there been a price revision with the agreed network hospital chain?
It's an ongoing process, Sahej. You know, we are not seeing any steep price increases in our network. In fact, we are able to better negotiate prices with some of the larger hospitals.
Right. So nothing in the last three odd months or maybe last 6 months odd. Nothing material. Got it. And the last one is on the OPEX, right? So once this IFRS gets implemented, so, you know, if you can quantify what proportion of our OPEX is fixed in nature, in a sense that what proportion of OPEX then will not get upfronted and then will get appropriately, you know, recorded in terms of the premiums being recorded for that particular year. If you could quantify that number. So for the last year, the OPEX was close to about 2,000 odd crores. If you can just give out that number.
Yeah. So, Sahej, one thing is the insurance industry, especially the listed players, you know, the regulator is looking at implementing IFRS effective 1st April 25. I talk in terms of ratio. So, last year our ratio, OPEX ratio was 30%, out of which around 7.5 to 8% is fixed cost. Balance is variable cost, which will be deferred over the policy period, roughly 22 to 23% cost. And that will be applicable both for the commission as well as the reinsurance commission received.
Got it. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawate from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. Just two small questions on the group business. Have we finally sort of, kind of said that group business starts growing from here on? And given the fact that the employer-employee segment has seen significant price hike, is it kind of more accretive at the combined ratio?
So, Nishin, the group business strategy continues to remain focused on the SME segment, and that's our sweet spot. We have taken a very, very steep target of increasing our group business this year. Right, last year it was constituting, I'm talking purely on the employer-employee corporate business, not on the banker groups. So we expect that, this year we should be able to double what we did last year. 2x is what we are planning to do. Let's see how that pans out. As far as large corporates are concerned, we continue to remain very, very selective. We are not very bullish about that, but we will evaluate as we go along.
So your 20% premium growth target includes, group 2 exits and then the rest of it retail. Is that the way I should read it?
20% growth target includes the group business, yes.
Okay. And just one clarification, the banker group business or the group business that you're doing under the banker, the banker business that you're doing under the group design, that in your presentation gets reflected in the retail also?
No, it gets retailed as per it gets reported as per the product filing, which is under groups.
Okay, got it. Great. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Better?
Yes, this is much better.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. So the first question is on the renewal premium ratio. So just wanted to understand whether if a customer shifts from Family Health Optima to a lower with Star Health, will he or she still be considered in that renewal premium basket, or will that be considered as a new policy? So that's one. The next question was on the banker side. You know, you laid out, you know, your strategy. Just wanted to understand what proportion of your premiums is currently coming from the banker channel alone. And I understand that you had a target of increasing that to 10% over the medium term. Does that strategy still remain in place, or, you know, you have revised those targets? So those are my two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, good question. The renewal of FHO customers, if they migrate to any of our other products within the Star Health franchise, we count them under renewal itself. We do not count them as new business. And the second question is, Banca, I had guided for maybe 10% sometime back, but now we are already clocking at 15% of our fresh business, and we hope that, you know, we will end the year with even better numbers than that.
Got it. So just one follow-up on that. So could you give us the breakdown that, you know, how many people have actually shifted from Family Health Optima to some other products? You know, is that something that you would get?
No, unfortunately, I'm not able to disclose that number. But what I can tell you is our retention ratios are better than what we had thought about.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Goda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My simple question is that if you look at ANH contribution, has increased from 56 to 61, which should improve your loss ratio. And we have a price hike, which everyone else has alluded to. But still the quantum of improvement which happened in the loss ratio has not happened. So in my view, is it because your specialized policies contribution has come off a bit compared to previous quarter? And also the mix, even if you are growing 15% kind of a new, and then the mix is more moving in the favor of renewal rather than new in the entire GWP of retail, and that is dragging down the still the loss ratio. So just wanted to understand that part little in a better way, how it will play out.
So Sanket, as already mentioned, that, you know, our improvement in loss ratio as compared to the last year itself showcases that, you know, the strategies that we are following is working out well for us. Now, what you're talking about, the price hike will take some time to eventually, you know, derive the benefit for us. So it will play out over the next 12 to 15 months. So I think, you know, it will only get better from here. So as far as the renewal to fresh mix is concerned, we keep tracking that very, you know, closely. And as we continue to invest in our distribution channels, we are opening, as I told you, more than 1,000 locations in the semi-urban and rural markets. We expect that our fresh to renewal mix will continue to be, you know, similar or better.
Got it. Anand, you in the call you have been saying that we are investing into people and the channels. You give the distribution mix on the total premium. Maybe if you can allude to something on distribution mix with respect to new business. Is it moved away from agency? More banker or more direct or more digital is contributing more? Means just to understand that part a little better, that investments is even getting reflected into the diversification in the distribution mix.
Yes, sure. So one number I can give you today is that our non-agency new business is now more than 30% contribution. And
This includes banker, digital, and these are the two main channels. And we are seeing a very fast growth in both of these channels, and now with the new guidelines under expense of management which we have got, I think, you know, we are going to go very aggressive in these two channels to make it improve.
Anand, this number 30% is how means if you can disclose how it was last year and how it has, we just wanted to understand the trajectory.
Okay, we'll take that offline. Maybe you can talk to us separately.
Okay, okay. And the last one from my side, we started the call year or in the fourth quarter call, we guided that the group health might go back to 10 to 11% of GWP, which was before 2023. But still, if I look, that number is around 6 to 7. So just and it is believed that group health is seasonally strong in first quarter. So just wanted to understand, still the 10 to 11% guidance remains, or that number might tone down a bit for the entire year.
No, the group health the number that we have taken will be somewhere around 10 to 11%. But that will include the bank assurance group, right?
Yeah. See, Sanket, first apple business is typically large corporate. As mentioned, we are focusing more on SME businesses and banker group. You know, the group business for us is grown by 30%. And, you know, this is only first quarter. So we're confident as we move along, the overall mix will keep on increasing.
Okay. Thanks, Mulish. That's it for my sense.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Two questions from my side. First, you mentioned, you know, in terms of a strategic shift for your new business toward non-agency, and you get some color on 30% coming from that channel. Just wanted to get some idea of how the payout structures on these non-agency channels differ from your agency, especially for the new business, and how the trajectory is shaping up incrementally from a competitive payout perspective. And second, if you can give some color on how the claims frequency differs between your metros versus smaller markets, or basis sum assured, I mean, if you can give some color on that.
Okay, so first thing is we are not shifting our business from agency to non-agency. It is just that the contribution of non-agency business is increasing because of our renewed aggression in that segment. So agency continues to be the largest contributor for us, around 70% of new business, and 30% plus comes from the non-agency channels. As far as the frequency and all is concerned, these are data that we are not able to disclose. These are very proprietary to us, so unfortunately we cannot do that.
Just to follow up on the first one, I was asking more from the perspective of how the distribution payouts on the new business vary between your agency versus non-agency. Some qualitative color on that.
Yeah. See, we are incentivizing our channels based on outcomes. You know, we look at the overall profitability of the business, the product segments that the channel is contributing. So, you know, it's a mix of loss ratio and expense ratio, and what we look at is a combined ratio. You know, we don't look at payout ratio separately. You know, we consider the combined ratio in terms of profitability of the channel.
Got it. Okay, sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Verification on the India's application, it is, we mentioned 1st April 25.
Yes, for listed player, it will be 1st April 25. You know, the IRDAI chairman himself had conducted a call with all the listed players and large life insurance players. And he has mandated that, you know, prepare yourself and be ready by 1st April 25.
Okay, so it's still a directional guidance that he has given. It's not a formal announcement yet.
So there is no formal announcement, but, you know, there is a weekly update from the regulator in terms of where are you in terms of, you know, the impact analysis, the technology. We conducted a call last week with a technology partner. We have given a mandate that the first impact analysis should be done by 30th September for all the players. So there are very specific directions that are coming in.
Okay. And what is the M2M gains booked in our investment book?
MTM gains. So there are overall book, there are no gains as such.
So 7.4 is the yield we should work with for the year?
Sorry?
7.4% is the yield we should work for the year?
We have disclosed that there were some profits booked in ETFs, so this quarter's yield is marginally higher. But there is a continuous optimization of asset allocation, you know, keeping in mind the relative valuations. So let's see. I mean, it would be certainly reasonably higher than the previous year. So this is what we expect. But let's see. Let's see. Depends on the opportunities that we get.
So what is the employee cost we should work with for the year?
Employee cost?
What we should work for the year for FY23?
See, employee cost, you know, has two components, the fixed cost and the variable cost. You know, the sales manager salaries are variable and there is incentive based on the growth in business. So very difficult to give a number to it.
Okay. But, I mean, so just a little confused here because we mentioned that we have added just few 30 engineers, but the step up that we see for the base quarter June also, there was a 56 crore ESOP cost. Adjusting for that, the run rate was 220-230 crores, and this quarter is 358. And June is actually a lull quarter with lower variable cost. So considering that the employee cost increase, excluding, is actually 62% YOY, June on June. That is my...
ESOP cost is not part of the employee cost. ESOP cost is part of the P&L. The 55 crores ESOP cost is not part of the employee cost last year. You cannot exclude that from the employee cost. The employee cost is comparable last year and current year. You know, as we spoke, we have done investment in people. You know, banker channel which is growing. There are relationship managers we have deployed. The sales manager has incentive based on the fresh business. So all this will lead to a increase in variable cost. And fixed cost for the first quarter will be higher, you know, because it's sequential. The people we have deployed in digital technology, that will come, that's a fixed cost which will come month on month. And there is an increment element also effective 1st April.
Okay. And so why is the variable cost in the employee cost, we've not classified it under commissions, unlike insurance company, general insurance company?
No, see, the commission is purely IRDA registered intermediary. The sales manager are internal employees of the company.
So in case of India's implementation, will that how will that number play out then for the variable cost of employee? It will stay at as it is, or it will be then apportioned over the year? How will that work?
The sales manager cost, because it is variable and it is linked to the business, that it will be apportioned over the policy period. The fixed cost of business, you know, the accounts, the claims team, which are fixed in nature, that will not be apportioned. But the sales-related variable cost will be apportioned.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anived Portfolio Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had two questions. You know, if I were to look at, you know, the GDPI of Star Health, could you give us some sense, you know, how much of that is in the top 10 cities as of now, and directionally, you know, as we are trying to penetrate and, you know, go deeper, what kind of trends we see for us and the industry in terms of health insurance? And secondly, you know, what is our stated investment policy in terms of debt equity, in terms of, you know, percentage of net worth, or how do we assess, you know, to optimize returns between debt and equity?
So, from the perspective of optimizing returns between debt and equity, see, large part of investment patterns are as per the regulation. So, regulation defines that minimum what we have to do. So, if you look at it, minimum 65% has to be in government securities, state government securities and AAA-rated papers. Correct?
Right.
So now beyond that, 35% of the portfolio is there, which can be allocated in various asset classes where we feel that by investing there, depending upon relative valuations, how we can maximize the yield. And you would also like to, you would also see that most of the insurance companies do not take very aggressive risks.
Yes.
Okay. So in our case, if example, non-fixed income book as of now would be around 6%. And our intent is that we would increase it to, say, 10% or so.
Okay.
Going beyond 10% perhaps would be a very gradual and very opportunistic kind of thing. If we get very interesting opportunity, perhaps then we can do it. So this is what the broad thought process is.
Sure. And this book, say, when markets were low, has it ever crossed 10% or no?
No.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Understood.
We are building this non-fixed income book. And we are not in a hurry to really just go ahead and very actively do this. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Gupta from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
So, just wanted to understand that as you go deeper into rural India or Tier 3, Tier 4 India, would your combined ratio... Would you be able to share what your combined ratio by geography is?
No, see, combined ratio by geography will not be able to present it so early. I mean, that will take some time because that is all proprietary information, you know.
But directionally, one would imagine that competitive intensity in Tier 3, Tier 4 towns should be lower than Tier 1, Tier 2 cities. So would your hypothesis be that as you go in Tier 3, Tier 4, your combined ratio would improve?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the combined ratio in rural areas is lower compared to urban areas, and that will definitely help in the overall combined ratio of the company.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nilesh Kambli for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks for joining the call late in the evening and listening patiently to us. We had a very good first quarter and we are optimistic about the remaining 9 months to achieve the growth and profitability targets for FY24. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Star Health and Allied Insurance Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.